That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bicycle Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts and some cuck in between. My name is Ross.
I'm Jody.
What's that, Jody? It's a knock at the cabin. Who is it? It's Magic Mike!
Oh, golden. I did not know what was going on.
And neither did I. The spirit moved through me. Anyway.
And I'm old enough that I should have said who's there.
Yeah, you should have. But it's fine. It's fine. It's like that other joke, knock, knock.
Who there?
Yodelehi.
Yodelehi?
Why are you yodeling, bro? This is a podcast. This is a movie podcast. Classic. Welcome back, Jody.
But a bit later than usual.
Yeah, I know. But yes, this man, life hits us hard. Life hits us hard. But we're trying to be consistent, and we appreciate you coming back. And
we've been eating our fiber. We've been like portion control.
I don't eat white bread anymore.
I am 10 days behind. 2 days into my 28-day.
There's too many numbers. There's too many. There's a fucking lot. Ten days behind. 2 days into your 28. Day fast.
Reboot plan. Jen and I joined the reboot health thingy. We wanted to like start exercising.
I'm saying, oh, like I know what that is. But
yeah, man. Yeah. You know, like those, what they call them, fitness thingy.
Mm, fitness boot dick camp. In your mouth. Got him! It's a dick joke.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I pursed my lips.
That's where you get your protein. Anyway.
A boot camp is what I was talking about.
Mm.
So
where do you find time to do that?
We don't. That's why we're 10 days behind.
Ah. Okay. But it's fine. It's fine. Look, everyone's journey is different.
Mm.
And also, like, just do you, you know?
We try.
Live your life. If you want to be better and eat better and lose weight, fine. If you don't, also fine.
Yeah.
We don't judge. Yeah. You know what we judge? Movies, Jody.
Speaking of.
Let's get into the news.
Where news and shorts.
Chris Reed, Michael Boxing Jordan new movie, getting a lot of buzz, a lot of good buzz.
Solid buzz, solid
breaking
money.
Box office, bruh.
Solid money for Chris Reed.
Yeah, but there's another thing happening at these these screenings. Tell us what it is, Jody.
People are mooting each other.
Look, I mean, I get into it.
It sounds like...
I get into, you know, sports movies. We are fans of sports movies.
It sounds like Lighty's watching Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, where? Kame! Kame!
Next week on Dragon Ball.
Do you know how long Frieza took to die? Like a month?
How long they took to start fighting?
Anyway, is it because people are getting hyped up at the movies and just rolling? Or
people, they literally do not know.
Okay.
So that is one theory, that the movie is so good that people are just like, yo, I want to fight with someone.
Wow. I don't think that's the message of the film.
No. Multiple wavelengths there. The other apparent theory is that people are rolling each other because it's a TikTok trend.
But no,
I don't think there's actually like a hashtag attached to this or anything.
No, I don't know.
You think it would have been out by now if that was...
I don't
was
trust it when news organizations, old media talks about...
it's a trend.
Yeah, a TikTok trend. I don't trust it until I fucking see it on TikTok for myself. Because they like to throw that shit around and then it's not actually a TikTok trend. It's just people mooting each other.
But listen, it's happening in French, German theaters, as well as in Thionville, which is somewhere in America. So they're like, it's so many different places that the fights are breaking out that they would think there's something tying it together.
What if it's like a Kingsman situation?
They're pumping some gas in
and
there.
And people are just losing their shit.
Colin Firth is mooting everyone.
Everybody. And then like Freebird is playing in the background.
That's
wow, we should watch that movie
again. That is one of the dopest.
This is a weird fucking story that is just happens to be about a boxing film. I find it quite funny, actually. I mean, as long as I hope innocent people aren't getting hurt.
I know, because who's fighting with
each other? Who's fighting? Oh, the French are probably protesting.
No, the French are running away.
Okay. Well, they run away from war, they don't, but not from injustice.
No.
They don't.
They will protest.
Vive la France. Mm. Yeah, I hope no one fights when we go watch Creed. From one Michael to the next, Michael Douglas Yeah, famous for Basic Instinct and looking at Sharon Stone's vagina.
I hope they do. You imagine what they do in the Basic Instinct theater if everyone was following what's
happening. Whoa. Ice picks all around.
A lot of pumping.
Oh, okay. I thought like murder.
No. You first have to write the book.
But he's considering selling his likeness. Now, this is a concept that's introduced now with like AI, right? And deep faking and CGI advancing. And they're like, oh, we heard about that story, that one story where they were going to make an entire film with James Dean.
Yes.
They were going to dig up his body and then just reanimate it.
Yeah. A Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, if you will.
Just use old footage.
Well, old footage and probably a body double, and then put James Dean's face on the actor.
Is it wrong to say Paul Walker's brothers are available?
Been a long day that you're a friend. Wow, yeah.
I don't know if anyone knows, but we've had some sugar-free Red Bull.
We have some sugar-free Red Bull, and I'm actually pretty fucking tired because it turns out you need the sugar in a Red Bull.
There's no flavor. The sugar.
Yeah, shame. You know, I was not thinking if Paul Walker was the most talented one, those other guys must be shame very bad.
And they constantly say it also. The most talented one died.
Anyway, yeah, so he's considering it.
This is a pretty good idea because
it's a retirement plan.
It's a solid plan because this is money for GM. No one else, I think, has currently even thought that far ahead.
Bruce Willis.
I was going to say,
there was the rumor which he debunked.
Yeah, when it came out, he couldn't act anymore.
And he's actually really bad now. Did you see the Demi Moore statement?
Isn't it his current wife who's asked that?
No, Demi Moore put out the statement.
Okay.
Because she obviously, they still.
Close.
No, not about the paparazzi. Just like.
How bad is
she
that?
Wishes.
Not a delivery. Was it Bob?
With a Bob. Wow. Do you think Bob's eating these streets? Yeah. It's come a long way, eh? It was a woman looking for old clothes, old shoes. I didn't get her website details. But she sent out a letter to say like they still have a good relationship and it's really sad and whatever, private time and stuff. So I was like, okay, if she's saying something, then we're probably not going to see him again. And if I were him, I would, because he was doing shitty movies, right?
Really bad ones.
Yeah, but
the last of which just released now.
Yeah.
In cinema.
In order to bank money, because he was getting like $2 million a pop.
Yeah.
So I would consider selling my license in that case. So at least my estate and my family still has some sort
they're taken care of.
Yeah. Diode 69.
Michael Douglas is also not doing a lot. Like
he's in Ant-Man.
And that's about it. I think, what was the other thing he did that
Ant-Man.
Matt Damon?
Damon.
That made for TV movie. Behind the Candelabra.
Oh, no, he also did the Kavinsky method.
Oh, yes, he does that.
So he is working. But
I'm not at the level he was at.
He must be tired of working.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
And Catherine can support the family.
But Catherine's not getting a lot of work at all.
Well, she was in Dennis.
Remember, she said that when she was diagnosed with bipolar and stuff, suddenly work dried up. Like, she's not in a lot of stuff.
But she was. She's in Wednesday.
Yes, she's most the mother. The mother.
The mother.
The mother.
Hello, this is me, the mother.
It's me. Whoa.
But look, I'm open to this if it's done well and it has the blessing of the actor.
Yeah, most importantly, I think this ties right back to like that copyright, that patent thing.
Mm.
The actors, if their likeness is being used to generate money, they must get the money.
100%. Yeah, they must get 100%.
Oh, with the Bruce Willis thing, what I was referencing was his wife had to apparently ask paparazzi to stop shouting at him. He still goes out for walks and stuff in public.
Mm.
And the paps like fucking go mad around him.
No one like shout at him.
Like screaming at him like, Bruce. And the man is going through shit.
Jesus.
So she's had to ask him to like, rough, eh? Just calm the fuck down.
Yeah. Shame. R.I.P. Bruce Willis's brain. Michael Basketball Jordan.
No, Pooper Man.
Well.
Read the joke that I wrote down, Ross. Yes, sis.
But I didn't open the article. I don't have context yet.
Just read the joke.
I know, but you can't. Okay, let me run that back. I'm obviously going to edit this out.
I write these jokes for a reason.
I'm not going to edit this out.
I know.
Michael Pooper Man Jordan. And Jody's having a great time with that one.
That be a sober.
Do they know why he's a Pooper Man?
No, but they're going to find out now.
Yeah, well, he's been doing PR for Creed 3, eating red carpets and shit. That is what this article's about, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You really haven't read that.
No, I haven't, but I saw the clip. So he was eating red carpets doing press, and there was an interesting interview who stopped him on the red carpet and started asking him questions and saying, yeah, oh, we know each other from back in the day. And he was like, yeah, you used to call me corny, right? And she was like, no, it wasn't me. But then he was like, okay, yeah. And a lot of people have different opinions on this.
Yeah. I don't care about that part.
Why? What part do you
care? That's not the relevant part. It's the why is Booper Man.
Oh, so I thought that was about this.
No. So the whole point of this
article. But did you see that clip?
Yes, I saw that. But
so, but don't you want to talk about that?
Okay, I guess. It doesn't reference my Booper Man joke at all.
We'll get to the Booper Man, okay? But he shut down a bully on the red carpet.
Yes.
Which was quite fucking funny.
Which I think is something that doesn't happen a lot, because journalists are often actually in the position of power in these things, because they know that movie stars are limited in how they can respond.
Yeah.
Whereas he was just like, oh, wait, no. Yeah,
you used to call me corny. And I mean, hardly in life do you ever get the opportunity to get some sort of revenge on a bully or a person that made your life miserable back in the day. And he got that little moment, and I think he fucking handled it with aplomb, Jody. Yeah. And a lot of people are like, oh, you shouldn't have said that and shit. And I'm like, fuck that shit. He didn't swear out. He didn't treat her like shit. He just said, oh, you remember? I remember you. You used to fucking call me corny and all this cuck, right?
He addressed the issue.
I went. And he was professional-ish.
No, I don't have any issues.
Enough.
I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Anyway, next story.
Booper Man.
No, I was going to move to the next one. No, I'm joking. Booper Man. He does his Booper Man.
So, if you don't know, rumors have been swirling around that there is going to be a Black Superman. That is confirmed. Who's going to play that Black Superman? What's Superman's name?
Val Zod.
Who's going to play Val Zod has not been confirmed. But there's general consensus that it's going to be Michael Booperman Jordan.
Oh, that clip this is about.
Yeah.
Oh. I should read the story.
You should have.
But I did see this clip. Can I lay the scene for this clip then?
You can.
Seeing as I'm the clip guy. So then he was just doing press for Creator. And the journalist then says, so I'd like to ask about Superman, Val Zod Superman. Mm. And he was like, oh yeah.
And he nods his head.
Yeah. And then his fucking publicist steps right in and says, we're not talking about that. And then the journalist was like, well, I had to give it a shot. And he's like, no, fair shot. Fair shot. You can't leave me hanging, even if it's okay.
You can. Yeah, he cancelled my Booper Man joke. Look.
We get there eventually. Okay, we're taking the scenic route. We're taking Chapman's Peak.
I really shouldn't leave you hanging, though.
You shouldn't. That was also very cool. So, what does that do to the fandom, Jody?
The fandom are pretty much coming in.
They fucking busting. Look. This is the one opportunity to have a Black Superman, which I would love to see, and then not also piss off the racists, I guess.
And this ties in with your Elseworlds discussion that we had in the previous episode.
100%.
There's a logical place for this to fit in.
And I mean, look at the man. He fucking looks like Superman.
There isn't a better casting.
There's not a better casting.
This man would...
If they put the villain... Okay, I haven't seen Creed 3 yet, but...
I mean, the reviews are really good.
Yeah, but then bring...
Jonathan Majors
as a villain tomorrow back. One time.
Get Tessa Thompson.
Just
in
let
there
them
as well.
Fight for just the rest of their career.
Just let everyone come. Everyone come on board.
I thought Booper Man was a superhero for us, Jody. Like his superpower is his boop.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm Booper Man.
Yeah, I'm also a Booper Man.
We are Booper Man.
We are Booper.
You don't have to pay Vin Diesel for the rights.
Never. I'll never give him a dime. We've spoken before about marketing for movies and how, you know, when they go guerrilla, it's always really, really cool. And
if it's done right.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be done right. You can't, like, go guerrilla and it's done badly. But there's been actual Ghostface sightings in New York or major cities, I assume.
I don't know how I feel about
No.
If
it's serious
you
shit,
see
yeah.
that in public.
It's like that clown trend that happened a while ago.
Yeah, which was just no. Just no.
It was just no.
No.
But yeah.
But if you see a guy dressed in like Ghostface and they come out with a knife, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to be there. That's for sure.
Because that's how Ghostface relies on killing people in the movie.
Yeah. He's like, hello, Sydney. And then you're like, oh my God, I'm not Sydney. He's like, I don't care.
Is that guy getting credit here for the voice work?
No, that's a robot thing.
No. That box is a guy.
No, it's a. This isn't a man inside the box, Jody.
It's a tiny little
It's important.
Man.
It's not Stuart Little.
What is this, a box for ants?
Hello, Sydney. Oh, that's a guy. That's
that
a voiceover.
That guy wasn't getting the credit for the longest time.
Wow.
For actually doing all that voice work.
He probably refused to come back like Neve Campbell.
Nice, eh? Money's money, me bro.
But it's brilliant marketing. It's cool. It creates viral moments. I'm sure like people are filming the clips and posting it and being like, holy shit.
Another, are you looking at this picture? Yeah. And this movie's also getting some good early hype, actually. They're saying that it's a really dope evolution of the series.
So. This is getting some of the highest ratings so far in the franchise history.
Yes.
But look, Jenna Ortega for me is, she's good, man.
She's it, right? It's like
our Anya. Did you see her interview?
Which one?
She went on a podcast and she was talking about Wednesday and how she had to battle constantly for creative choices on Wednesday's character.
Really?
Yeah. And she was pushing back on, she's like, why would Wednesday be in a love triangle? Why would she do this?
It doesn't
why
make
would
sense
she, yeah. So she said like there was a lot of backlash and shit and coming from her, but she felt like so close to that character and she's amazing as Wednesday.
Incredible.
And I did have some issues with the choices of Wednesday.
Mm. A lot of people had choices, especially around the relationships and all of that stuff.
Yeah, but also putting her in that setting. I know you want supernatural stuff, but Wednesday works best when she's playing against normies.
Mm.
You know, not kids with special abilities. Anyway, we digress. Scream 6, I am actually excited for this.
Me too.
Moving forward with the franchise, Fede Alvarez. I thought this movie was dead in the water. Turns out it's not.
Yeah, the one that's dead in the water is Neil Blomkamp's Alien.
Ah.
That one was...
That was Alien in South Africa. And they were like, no, this place is fucked up enough. Let's
retain.
Let's just scan that.
So that one's dead. Fede Alvarez, though, this Alien film has now got its...
Its cast. Main and cast. I know none of them.
No. Not any of these people.
They're young, though. So you
apparently, this one guy was in After Sun, but that wasn't a big role. So he was a very minor character.
The white guy, I assume.
Yeah.
It's nice and diverse.
Only, which will probably cause
only
problems.
Two women.
That will probably cause problems.
I don't give a
the
fuck.
The diversity.
I don't give a fuck. But you know when they cast young Jodie.
Franchise.
Franchise.
Franchise the shit out of it.
They want to franchise more of this franchise.
Also, there's no... There's no script details, but apparently what they want to do is go back to the originals in terms of making it smaller setting.
Horror.
Yeah. Very strong horror vibe. So they're going to have them be like, they're on a planet, there's one xenomorph.
On a planet?
A planet, my bro. Captain Planet.
Yay! Captain Planet versus a xenomorph.
Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Xenomorphs are basically pollution.
Shit, I feel like we're in like an 80s writer's room with a lot of cocaine. Think Captain Planet, aliens. Come on. No, look, all I want is for good movies to be made. That's all. And if they go back to their roots, I feel like that's at least a good starting point. Look at what happened with Prey.
Mm?
And that can happen with Aliens again.
I think so. And Fede Alvarez has done small, intimate, like horror movies.
I like this
already.
Fist bump thing.
Fist bumping. Let's keep fisting each other for the rest of the
100%.
Podcast.
100%. And I mean, we won't finish if we don't fist each other.
No. Fede Alvarez has done smaller, intimate horrors like Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe is one of my favorites, and I fucking hate horror.
And he did the remake of Evil Dead as well.
Who did the one that follows? It follows. Wasn't him, eh?
No, not him.
Love the first Don't Breathe, though.
Yeah. So I think with Fede Alvarez involved, he's normal writing collaborators involved as well.
Mm.
And Ridley Scott is only producing. So Ridley can't catch on Ridley's ship.
Mm. Riddle me this.
Riddle me that.
Seth Rogen. In generation of new era. Did you see? Oh, you saw that thing about Seth Rogen?
Yeah.
Straight from the sewer, baby. Mm.
I love that font already.
Oh shit.
Oh.
Fucking Tribe Called Quest.
My bro, they gotta throw the song.
It's voiced by actual teenagers now, by the way. Donnie, Leo, Michael, and Raph. Got an afro.
Does Splinter have an afro?
Yes, like a Jericho afro thing.
Yes, we can. Oh, Bebop and Rocksteady look just also.
Get that animation style, bro.
Very Spider-Verse, eh?
Spider-Verse changed the game. Check this ghost out.
Oh shit, Ross, April's Black.
Oh, can't wait for that discourse.
Cancel.
Check this cost. Oh, they're not going to show the cost. Show my them. Bad. But like, the cost is already like
amazing.
John Cena, Seth Rogen.
I'm checking it.
Okay. We're going to edit this out so it seems like.
Jackie Chan or Splinter?
Yes. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Jackie Chan or Splinter. The kids, obviously, you want.
Okay, then they also have John Cena, Rose Byrne, Giancarlo Esposito, yes. And Post Malone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ice Cube.
I didn't say Ice Cube.
Ice Cube is going to be a character called Superfly.
Of course.
Okay. Paul Rudd, Mondo Gecko, Hannibal Buress, Genghis Frog.
You're the villains of
Maya Turtles Rudolph is going to be Cynthia Ultram. Okay. And then you have that breakout star from The Bear, Ayo Edebiri. She's going to be April. She's April O'Neil.
Aha.
So the cast
I still
is,
haven't seen The Bear.
Maybe you shouldn't watch it. Because that fucking that second last episode is like anxiety, the show. So
you know what it does to you.
I know what it does to you. I know what messages in the middle of the night. You fucking night. Anyway.
Yeah, I was just talking about The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us.
Fucking hated Ross after fucking episode 4.
I don't think Shredder's going to be in this film. We're not going to see any
which
of
is
this,
fine.
Which is great.
It's fine.
We've seen enough iterations of it. And
there are enough other villains.
And it failed.
You know who I would love to see? Neutrinos. I'd love to see, like, get Casey, what's his name?
Casey and JoJo.
No, man, with the ice hockey mask.
My life. Dream of you can't help it. Yeah, Casey.
Who are apparently hockey coming man. To Cape Town.
No.
Yeah.
No, but I'm not going to pay for one song.
Someone played a live Casey and JoJo performance that they apparently did on the radio.
Wow.
Don't know if you want to pay money for that, man.
Maybe they should perform at Casey.
Maybe.
It's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing. Who won the competition? Knock at the Cabin.
Magic Michael.
Not Magic Michael.
Putty. Putty.
You tried.
You did try. But it wasn't the best in the series, I would say.
Yeah. But ending on a bit of a downer.
And a little bit. I missed the magic of the first two. But anyway.
We digress.
Yeah.
This one's directed by M. Night Shyamalan. While vacationing at a remote cabin in the woods, a young girl and her parents are taken hostage by four armed strangers who demand that they make an unthinkable choice to avert the apocalypse. Confused, scared, and with limited access to the outside world, the family must decide what they believe before all is lost.
Ah, cool premise.
Very cool premise based on a book.
Based on the book, Cabin at the End of the World.
By Paul G. Tremblay. Tremblay. This movie stars Dave Bautista, Jonathan Groff, Ben Aldridge, Nikki Amuka Bird, Kristen Cooey, Abby Quinn, and most people are very surprised by this.
Yeah.
Rupert Grint
in there for a. Did you link Wikipedia?
Maybe.
You usually link IMDb.
I know. I didn't go there this week.
I thought they blocked it at work for you or something.
Imagine what I was doing on IMDb. They decided to block it.
Anyway, initial thoughts. That's basically the story. I don't want to give. You can't actually give much more of the story away without spoiling anything. But that's the imagine. Imagine you at a cabin and these people come to you and say, like, yeah.
They give them a. They have to make a decision. I mean, we can put out.
Can we?
That's not a spoiler.
Is it in the trailer?
Pretty much. I mean, they reference the apocalypse here.
In the
so I think
synopsis,
we can say that the choice that needs to be made is that the family must choose. There's three of them, two fathers and their daughter. They must choose to kill one of the family members willingly.
It's a real Sophie's choice.
So it's not even Sophie's choice. It's like, you must murderize someone there.
I didn't read the book.
Me neither.
Why not?
Time.
You read a novel in like...
I could have... I was contemplating doing that before we decided...
Jody's given up, guys. He used to do the work.
Do you remember for that Zoe Brown episode? I read that
The Devil Wears Prada.
In like 3 days before she came. In any case.
Anyway, shout out Zoe Brown. Friend of the show.
I don't think we have to discuss too much story, but what do you think of how this movie looked?
Definitely Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Like the close-ups, the sitting in the scenery, having you look in the background to see if there's anything happening.
What's happening constantly.
Yeah, the way he's got a style, which I can now identify, and this is very much his style. It's, I would say, more in the beginning than towards the end.
Yeah, where it's more intimate settings as opposed to the big world stuff.
Yeah.
I felt very strongly like it's his movie.
Mm.
I think also I felt like there was a budget. Like I
no,
felt
but
like
he
I
works better with a budget.
He does. And I felt like I could see it here.
Mm.
In that the really good stuff is the intimate stuff. The things that is like set at the cabin.
Yeah.
When we see what else is going on outside of that, when it becomes like very big world, you see the limits of the budget a bit more.
But that he could have done well with that without breaking the budget.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about it. Spoilers.
Yes. Yeah. No, I get you. Performances.
Okay, let me run from worst to best.
You have an order.
Yes, I do have an order.
Well done. I didn't do that, but I know it was my best.
Okay, the worst is M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah. I don't think you should stop putting himself in these movies.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Ever.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. Hitchcock fan?
Fuck knows.
He should start doing what Hitchcock did at the end, just like Silhouette. That's all we need.
Yeah. Or like when Hitchcock died, just stay out of the movie. So I would say then Abby Quinn, that's the white woman, eh?
Mm.
Yeah, and then I would say the other woman, which is Nikki Amuka-Bird. Then Rupert Grint.
Mm-hmm.
No, I will put Jonathan Groff, and then Rupert Grint, and then I will say Ben Aldridge, and my man fucking Dave Bautista. Kills the shit.
Best wrestling actor out there.
Kills
you. You didn't mention the child actor. How do you? What did you think of her performance?
No, I don't like children.
I think that.
No, I'm joking. She's very good.
She's very, very good. Yeah. But I think that.
You know why? Because in the IMDb, her name's not in blue.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't mention her.
That's why.
Yeah, because she doesn't have
that's
a link.
My fault.
That is his fault. But she's very good. I would put her up there.
Kristen Kui, yeah. I think she struggled a bit with some of the tonal shifts. But as a child actor, I think she was.
But Dave Bautista, Jody, let's take a moment.
Dude.
Let's take a fucking moment.
I think that.
Tell me what you think, son.
The best thing that could have happened to him is maybe.
These injuries that left him, that he left the WWE.
All of that. But the fact that he made a decision to be a character actor.
Yeah.
He has chosen roles that is like, I actually want to grow and challenge myself and not just looked at the box office.
But I think he fell in love with the craft of it.
Yes.
Which is not, I mean, wrestlers turn actors, that's never the case.
Mm.
Usually they're used to being stars, they're used to getting money and stuff. Mm. So they push for like box office jams, you know what I mean?
I feel like I can potentially see it with John Cena and some of the choices he's made.
Yeah,
as
but
well.
He can afford to. I mean, he's come a long way.
And he was the biggest wrestling star for the longest
time. Yeah, he was. And invisible.
Mm.
It's impressive that he did that.
Yeah. Like no one can see me.
You can see me. But Dave Bautista has just taken it to another fucking level. And he just wants to get better and better. And I am here for that journey, bro.
This is
so good. No one, not Hulk Hogan, The Rock, John Cena, no other fucking wrestler turned actor could have pulled off this role.
No, impossible.
Impossible.
No.
And this character in the book is also a hulking person.
Yeah, which contributes to the situation that's unfolding.
But the way that he delivers his lines, man, the way he speaks, the language he uses, everything was so considered.
It's that apparent contradiction of his size and what you would assume is going to happen, and his actual intentions and what he's trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And that balance, he achieves that brilliantly.
Yeah, because his character is a teacher in this movie.
Yeah.
And looking at him, you would be like, ugh. But the moment he opens his mouth, you're like, oh, I see he's
you
a teacher.
Why.
100%. So fucking good.
Yeah.
Give that man his flowers.
Yeah. No, this man was...
Just
this is the performance of his career so far for me.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. People think like he can only do stuff like Drax.
No, in Blade Runner he was very good.
Well, but he had
it was very small.
Powerful, but it was short, but impactful. This is portraying that emotional arc of like he's like almost like our avatar in this movie. Like he's the one that's doing a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of what's going on
and he can
what's happening and he achieves it.
Well, him and Ben Aldridge, they carrying this film.
Very much.
He's the avatar from, you know, the cabin knockers.
Mm.
And Ben Aldridge is the
occupants.
Yeah, cabin lovers.
Yeah. Lovers and knockers.
Yeah, peri peri, baby.
Wouldn't be bad.
I actually don't like livers.
It's livers and chicken breast knuckles.
But why can't they just take that sauce
and put it everywhere else? You can.
I know you can. Anyway, they carried this film, the two of them, because he was really, really good. Jonathan Groff, because he has a concussion, he's like, you know, and he's supposed to be the one that's starting to empathize with him, but you can't take his word for it because he's got a concussion and it's like, you know, which is cool. Because I like the ambiguity of, is this real? Is it not real? What's happening?
Which, again, I don't know if you're going to talk about it, but
I am always going to talk about it.
In the book, there's a lot more ambiguity than what the movie
has. Yes.
The movie's a bit more certain.
Yeah, I am going to talk about the book.
So the one thing I did want to ask you.
Okay.
M. Night has a bit of a reputation for very stilted dialogue. What did you think about this one?
There were moments, Jody.
It came through my mouth.
I don't think you can fight it. There were moments.
Is it just how he writes? Because
I think it's how he talks, actually.
Like, that's how he talks in real life.
It has to be. Why would you think real people would talk like that way?
No, there's a beauty in how he films. Like, he had that knack for twist in the beginning. Mm. He's directing, like, he's either very on or, like, really off. But when he's on, he is really on.
Mm.
But the dialogue is almost always... Like, you find crappy dialogue in
his movies. It's very strange, but it's interesting.
Mm.
I would love to see how he actually fucking figures that out.
Mm.
Like, taking this character and being like, oh, this is what they would say. And you're like, no, that's not what anyone would say.
I don't know if it's based on the language in the book, because there are some authors who really don't do dialogue well.
Yeah, that's true.
And it could be that influenced it. Although, I mean, there's already... We spoke about how the book is barely... given credit. This is a written by M. Night movie.
Jesus.
Based on, you know, that based on...
Yeah, no, he changed quite a... I wouldn't say he changed quite a bit. The things that he did change were quite significant.
Yes.
So the couple wasn't a gay couple in the book.
I don't think they were a gay couple. I think that there's also a point where the changes become very significant, as well as, like we say, the ambiguity of what's going on is the book doesn't really answer that for
which
you.
Which I actually prefer.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it. Yeah, performances were okay. There were two standouts, Batista and Ben Aldridge. Shyamalan should not be in his films.
No, and a fascinating concept. Like, I just love original ideas. Like,
yeah, definitely. When I saw the trailer, I was like, okay, this is a cool premise. And it's right up his alley as well.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much.
Shyamalan alley.
Yeah. Shyamalan alley.
How much more do you want to talk before spoiler time?
I think we need to get into the spoilers.
I think
that's
so
where
too.
The meaty meat
That's is. Where the place is. I am going to say this is a quai, but a Shyamalan quai. As in, this is the goodest movie that he's done in a long time.
In a while. Which is not saying much.
Yeah, it's not saying much.
It's quai for me. Okay. I think that there's enough good, there's enough unique
stuff. It would be quieter if I didn't find out the ending of the book.
Yeah, the changes that were made and...
If I didn't know that.
I don't know the ending of the book, so you're going to spoil that for me. But for me, this was quite purely as it's entertaining, it's an original concept.
Yeah.
Dialogue aside. Like,
but I think I'm going to spoil it for you for the ending of the book.
No, it's fine.
Okay. No, not spoil it. I'm going to change your rating.
Nah.
No, your rating will stay, but it might... The quality of your rating will...
A caveat.
Come. Yeah. The apocalypse was real.
Yeah. The
world was going to end. And they killed Jonathan Groff.
Yeah.
He dies.
Yeah.
And all the other people die.
Everyone else.
Everyone dies. And Jonathan Groff, except for...
Only Ben Aldridge and...
And Wen.
Yeah. So Andrew and Wen are the only ones who survive. And the rest of the world.
Yeah. Well, the ones who didn't die in the plagues leading up to it.
So back to the story.
Explain it, bro.
So... These invaders confront this family and then literally invade the house in a super anxiety-inducing manner.
Yeah.
Like, it's just super creepy how that entire scene unfolds, which is right at the start of the movie.
But that was also quite cool, the way they did that, because you could tell...
It's not quite...
Because they didn't want to hurt them.
No.
They need to break into the cabin.
Something not quite right.
Yeah, because it's like, we don't want to hurt you. And then they smash the window.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Let us in...
Which was cool. I like that.
And the reason for this is that, as the movie's description says, if they do not make this decision, there will be an apocalypse.
Yes.
And as we find out in this film, they are right.
They are right.
They've been given visions. They all came together, the invaders now, came together because of the visions that they had received.
Yeah.
And they are the ones who need to make this family make this choice.
Yeah. You did well. I like that. But in the end, they all die. Obviously, the family, it's you have the husbands and the adopted daughter, and you don't want that. None of them want to kill each other.
No one wants.
And the horsemen have to off. Horsemen. Whoops. Spoiler alert.
Mm.
The guys that enter the cabin, they have to off each other one by one. If the decision isn't made by a certain time, then like Rupert Grint, I didn't expect him to die so early.
But I felt it was a really good choice because of the shock
factor. It was good.
It was really like, oh, shit.
Oh, can I ask you this, though? Would you have appreciated an R rating?
Yeah.
Me as well.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see some gore, and I think it would have just hit a bit harder.
The shock factor would have been that much heavier. But also maybe budget-related, because then you have to up your effect budget.
What? You can make a horror film movie for like R5.
I know, but I'm saying like M. Night, there's this thing where... we
just call him M.
We tight.
M. Night is so pretentious. So not from you, from him, I mean. Because he tells you to refer to me as M. Night, right?
It's Manoj. His name is actually Manoj, but... And it's not Night as his second name.
No, you put that in to be mysterious.
God, in any case,
yeah.
I think that he has like a certain level of quality he wants to have in his films.
Yeah.
And if he had gone more violent, he would have wanted a certain quality for that violence.
Not I think cheaper. Others have achieved it for less.
I agree with you, but I'm saying maybe
no,
that's...
No, I think you're wrong, and he should have fucking fought for an R rating.
This is why we don't get along.
Yeah, this podcast is a sham. No, I
think it would have made it better.
100%. I mean, imagine you watch that axe go through his fucking head.
And it's gruesome deaths.
It's gruesome deaths. Because they stick it there with these fucking cobbled together weapons.
Yeah, the weirdest shit.
Yeah, like an axe that has a swinging fucking dumbbell at the bottom and
just
shit.
It's impractical.
Weird, it really is impractical.
Yeah.
Why were they carrying these weapons?
That adds to the
that
weirdness.
Can't be in the book.
Again, I would say that is tied to their vision. So they've been told what's going to happen. So they know the order of their deaths.
Yeah, so the visions, they see things. It's like actual visions. You also find out that Dave Bautista, they met on a message board, which also feeds into the ambiguity of it, because it's like, oh, they met on the message board. That's where crazy people meet.
Yes.
They must be crazy.
And also, I think that's where Jeffrey Goff's character, he's the one that... No, Ben Aldridge is the one.
Yeah, Ben Aldridge is the doubting Thomas.
Yeah, so he doubts throughout the movie that what they are claiming is going on is going on. So he's kind of like our voice, where it's like, you are talking bullshit. Shit.
And there's a lot of things that they're like, they switch on the news and then, you know, things happen and they're like, no, you knew this is a pre-recording and that's why you keep checking your watch.
Yeah.
Like they plant all these seeds to make you doubt it. In terms of the special effects, and they show the news clips and stuff. How you fix that is you film it with a fucking phone. And
you make it look
like a fucking phone.
Because they just happen to be news cameras.
They just happen to be like in wide angle HD fucking cameras that they're filming, that these people are filming on the beach for.
Yeah.
That's how you fix your budget. It makes everything better.
Again, I think they're leaning into the ambiguity where it's like you can't actually see fully what's up.
Remember Signs?
Yes.
When the motherfucker walked past the thing? Come on, bro. That. Come
so
on.
I would have loved leaning into the ambiguity more.
Because he pisses me off, man. Because he's so talented, this fucking asshole.
And he has the idea, like, the concept is there.
Almost there.
It's there. So I really felt like leaning into the ambiguity would have made this better. I still enjoyed it.
So speaking about the ambiguity, can I tell you about the ending in the book?
Please do. Okay. I'm not going to read it at this point.
No. The major one in terms of the ending is they are wrestling for a gun, Leonard, and I think... Ben Aldridge, Andrew.
Yeah, the one who's not concussed.
Yeah, they're wrestling. But the other woman, she doubts. So the one who's part of like the Horseman group, she starts to doubt it and she starts to help the family, the black woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which is cool that because you're like being like, yo, they're not fully, some of them are not fully into this.
Yeah.
And then she helps them get the gun and whatever and they wrestle for the gun and then the gun goes off and they end up killing Wen.
Oh, my God.
And Wen topples over and Leonard cannot fucking handle it.
Yo.
And he kills himself. And then
that would have been
the decision is there, and the two of them are there, and the decision is still there, and they decide to just carry on in the world, because what is a world worth living in without Wayne?
Without your daughter.
Come on, bro.
That is...
Come on, bro.
Yo, I would have loved that ending.
I would have loved that ending. It's giving me the mist.
Yeah. Which also, that ending differed from the book also, by the way.
Yeah, but...
The book was so much more hopeful, but this, like, yo...
Come on.
Also, I feel like that would have given Dave Bautista's character, like, he was riding that emotional arc already. Yeah. He would have pulled that
He
off.
Was in it. He was so, I mean, he was so committed to the cause, and you could see the fight within him, but he was the one who was driving it the most.
Yeah.
And for, if that would have happened, and he would just like, it and doesn't fucking matter.
I guess you could see that they wouldn't have, they would never have gone for the book's ending the way this movie was filmed, because... The one part we didn't talk about is the flashbacks. So they keep showing us like the relationship of Wen's fathers.
Yeah.
One of them was attacked previously by Rupert Grint's character, which lends further doubt as to whether this is legit or not. How they've been betrayed by family in the past and how they just count on each other. So their relationship is framed in that way as the biggest focal point for them as to the decision that they're making. And... I would have still preferred that they did not the book.
No, because they have this whole thing. They explain it also when they make the decision, and then it's like, oh, don't you see the thing of well, I mean, they clearly the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but he says there's the qualities of mankind or something.
Yeah, it's the redeeming qualities of mankind.
Well, malice is not a redeeming quality.
Sorry, wait, I'll find that.
Because Rupert Grint is malice, I think, and then... Leonard is guidance, and then the other two are the other things. But I mean, they're supposed to be in the book. They're essentially the four horsemen.
Yeah,
and then they explain this whole thing, and it's like, oh, okay, you won't actually let us make any decisions for ourselves. You're just gonna explain everything and whatever. And then it becomes that whole thing of like, why would you save them if they hate us and whatever? And it's like, no,
exactly.
Learning about the book ending, fucking 10 times better.
Maybe part of M. Night Shyamalan's thinking is that because he had made them a gay couple, like bringing in that hatred of gay people and like where they fit into the world.
But that wasn't his reason.
For changing that.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying if I think
you know what his reason was?
Why?
He has gay aunts and he wanted to pay homage to them somehow.
Okay.
So it wasn't even,
Because I'm getting deep here.
No, it wasn't that deep, motherfucker. They just put that shit in.
But I mean, even like with the two fathers and having Wen be killed, even with the backstory they established, it still makes the impact of that moment that much better.
Yes. I would have much preferred that ending.
Yeah, fuck
Does
you,
it drop
Ross.
A few notches now?
Fuck you, Ross.
It's still a Kawhi, but it drops a few notches.
You see what I was saying?
What?
You see?
What?
Last of Us, now this.
But that ending is so much better.
It is.
And it leaves it so ambiguous because they don't, apparently.
They never confirm.
They don't show. Yeah, they don't show as much as M. Night shows in the movie. And when it's supposedly the end of the world in the book, you still don't really know.
Yeah.
But they just make that decision to be like, whatever happens, happens. If the earth swallows us now, it swallows
we
us.
We lost our daughter.
Yeah.
Whoa.
On that note.
Jesus.
Look, I would say watch it. It's one of his better films in a long time. So give it a go.
I also didn't like it, but now you're making me want to read the book.
But you know the ending.
Yeah, no shit though. But yeah, still liked it.
Now for our new-ish kind of throwback, also new segment, where the Brasa ask us anything.
Yeah, literally anything. No, the questions
well, you can.
Are,
the questions are cool. I like
questions
it.
Questions are very.
Because they are Brasa.
So Charlton E. says, what is your co-host inexplicably favorite movie that grinds your gears? I feel like I know what you're going to say for me, and you should know what I'm going to say for you.
It's like probably like Inception, but it's more around the discourse around
it's more
Inception.
More around Christopher Nolan.
Yes, because Inception is a great film. But the fact that you Christopher Nolan really chaps my ass off.
You know what I'm going to say for you? The Wachowskis. It's Speed Racer. There's no sane reason to love that movie as much as you do.
It's a great movie, though.
His name is Speed.
Did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it for you.
No, but then you're lying to me. If you've seen the film, you're now lying.
Charlton, this man is fucking this.
Fuck Christopher Nolan. Wachowski till I die, son.
That's exactly how I do that. Tony Maneo says, is there a problem with my TikTok? My videos don't want to load.
I didn't have that issue. I did check and I didn't have that issue because I don't know if you guys know this, but I have an iPhone. So
I think maybe this is a euphemism. Tony, there are doctors that you can see if your TikTok videos aren't loading.
Wow, properly. It's not a euphemism because his sister confirmed it. She said mine also.
Oh, so his penis is working.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was just...
No, it's not a euphemism. Awesome. His penis works.
I'll check my TikTok later. I only go on it.
Wait, are you checking your penis or your TikTok?
I don't have to tell you.
He's checking his penis. Next question.
Dean Schroeder asks, what is wrong with the MCU and what would the Brasa do to fix it?
I would say the problem is too much.
Way too much.
I think the problem is oversaturation at the moment. And... you know, but it's classic capitalism. When you increase output, quality drops. That's the only way it works.
Also, if you don't remunerate
people. Yeah, your special effects. But special effects is only one part of it. I mean, there's script writers, there's all these things. And a lot of these movies are story driven. And the most fucked up thing is the source material is readily available.
It's all there. I, biggest issue for me, Dean, is that it's the quantity over quality thing that they've gone for. But it's also that they've built a universe that is caving in on itself. It's not sustainable what they're doing.
I will also say they are missing like the Tony Stark and Cap of this universe. There's a lot of characters which I do love. I love Captain Marvel. I love Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. I love all these new things that they're introducing. Not necessarily the quality of the shows and movies, but the characters themselves. I really enjoy a lot of them.
There are those that we haven't even met yet.
Yeah, there's no anchor
people,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I don't think there's as much investment in those characters that you've referenced as the originals.
Yeah.
And it's because those stories, I think, were told in a more logical manner in terms of how it unfolded.
Yeah. Because the multiverse can get really weird and weird to wrap your head around.
But if you think back to the innocence of that time.
Let me think back.
Think back, Ross.
When we were young and
Iron Man 1. Those halcyon days. Shit. The way that the Easter eggs came out, the way that the slow build towards Avengers happened. You can't replicate that. You're not going to capture that magic
again. That was lightning in a bottle. Yeah. But I did think that they had a villain hole before seeing Ant-Man. But after seeing Ant-Man, I think Jonathan Majors can do it. Yeah. Well, what I will say is going forward, how they use Jonathan Majors is going to be...
very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
But if you have jobs at Disney for two, you know...
We there. Screenwriters.
Two hunks like us. Not screenwriters. We can't write scripts. But what we can do is just sit and talk about ideas. And if they pull something out of that, then they pay us.
I'm being a hunk.
You are being a hunk. Hunk of shit. No, you're not. You fucking sexy bastard. You sexy bastard, you. Next question.
The Midstagram. Do you prefer Jody and Cody or Ross and Joss?
I think Joss and Cody. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck?
I like that.
Like, come on, man. We don't call you other fucking names. Just call us by
We're not even outing real names yet.
Yeah, we're not because we have respect. So just could you grant us the respect and just call us by our actual names?
All we ask and respond to our messages.
Yeah. Lightning and thunder. That's what we'd like to be known as.
Then we have a new follower who also asked a question. Charles Carstens says, when are you reviewing Avatar The Way of Water?
Never.
And love your show, BTW. Charles, it's highly unlikely that we'll be reviewing Avatar because I still haven't watched the first one.
Yeah, he hasn't watched the first one. And I don't know if I want to sit for 3 hours, bruh. If that movie comes on streaming, I'll break it up into two parts.
Are you still going to watch by Spencer? Sharing with that one pair of 3D
glasses.
Yeah,
the one pair of 3D glasses. We can do that. The way the director intended. Next question.
Lindsay Tunzi says, have you ever walked out of the cinema because the movie was so bad? I don't think you know how expensive cinema tickets are.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever walked out, but we did come close for Interstellar.
Ooh, shots fired.
Yo, Abby's just fucking shaking her head there, bro. Yeah, Interstellar was rough, bruh. That was rough.
No, I pay way too much each time I go.
But
to
I didn't walk out. No.
Never walked out of a movie.
I can't. Like people who do that, that's rich people problems.
That is. This is unacceptable. Yes, leaving.
I mean, I'd rather nap, but I won't leave.
Yeah, I've fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Last question. Alfred Adrian Man of the show.
Congrats. Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
So Alfred asks, would you consider a live podcast?
Yeah, it's harder than we thought. We have big dreams, but we are also not good at this. It is on the cards. We've also been toying with a movie quiz night idea,
yes,
which would also be very cool. But I mean, it takes a lot of planning and it's shit. And
Alfred, we'll tag you in this. You tell us what we should do. And then the Brasser can also tell us what they'd like us to do.
Yeah.
Movie quiz.
But if you move to Cape Town, we can hang out more.
Stick it, bro.
Oh, we're last show, bro.
That's all our questions.
Is that all our questions? Yo, shout Brasser. Thanks for that. If someone wanted to find us, Jody, how would they do that?
You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, Bicycle Brasser Podcast. Or you can write to us, bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Salute. And stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.
Remember, don't be a... No, what does it say?
Don't be scared.
Don't be scared.
Be nice.
Whoop.